Lord Jesus,
Amen.
This morning we come again to you.
Amen.
You're the most lovely one.
Amen.
We love you.
Amen.
We like to contact you.
Amen.
We realize that for us to be seeds of the gospel,
Amen.
We have to be in love with you.
Amen.
You have to be so precious to us.
Amen.
Help us again this morning
Amen.
That we could have living contact with you.
Amen.
Lord, remove every separation. Every distance,
Amen.
Every obstacle,
Amen.
That we could love you more.
Amen.
The second session this morning, we want to, turn in your book to page 15. Somehow I lost my book. I don't know what happened to it. I had it up here. I think someone, it's okay. And sorry, my voice gets dry up here. Let's read the title all together. All right, let's read it. Contacting
the Lord through confession and prayer.
You know, in the last session, we were on contacting the Lord by calling and pray reading. And now this morning, the second session, we want to fellowship with you about confession and prayer. when we are at school and we have a concern about our friends and about how they could get saved or if they could get saved, and we begin to pray for them, we have to realize that our prayers have to matter. They have to count. Our prayers have to reach the Lord. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where it was really desperate. It was really serious. Sometimes I was like that, where the situation was desperate. Maybe somebody's life was hanging in the balance. There was an accident or there was something that happened, and you're just praying so desperately that the Lord would heal them or restore them, that they would make it through that surgery or that the treatments would work. Have you ever had somebody or prayed for somebody like that? It was like life and death. It was so desperate. And then you were afraid. What if the Lord doesn't hear my prayers? Or what if my prayers don't matter or they don't count? And one time, I had this kind of realization, this experience, when I went out to walk, just like you guys did this morning, walking around, and I went out to walk, and I was crying, and I was praying, because what I was praying for was so desperate, and I was afraid it was not going to work. And then I thought, as I was praying, I had this thought, Lord, is there anything between me and you that I need to confess? You know, a little sin or a little mistake sometimes becomes a great blockage, like a veil between us and the Lord. And then you really want your prayer to be answered. You want your prayer to be heard. But then you realize, I'm not that close to the Lord. I'm a little distant. My heart is a little cold. And I don't love the Lord like I used to. Or I haven't prayed very much lately. Or I haven't called on Him very much. And so now there's kind of a distance or a gap between me and the Lord. You know, this morning we were talking about kissing Him. Not a kiss on the head or a kiss on the nose, even a kiss on the cheek or on the hand, but a kiss on the lips. How intimate the Lord was, how close He was, yet maybe now it seems like He's so far away. Seems like right now He's not that near. But this is desperate. The situation is urgent. I need Him to hear me. I need Him to answer me. I need this prayer to be answered. Have you ever, do you understand the dilemma here? Then you realize, you know, I need to confess. I need to be right with the Lord for my prayers to count, for my prayers to hit the mark, for the Lord to hear them, for the Lord to answer them. I need to be right with Him. Right? Makes sense, right? So this morning, our thought is this. As a gospel seed in your school, or as the salt of the earth, the light of the world, or even a branch in the vine, if you're a living gospel tract and you're walking on your campus, you will begin to have a heart for those around you. You will begin to become concerned for those sitting in your class, for your friends around you, and you'll be concerned that they too would know the Lord. You know, some places where I go to have conferences, the young people will turn in questions, and they would like us to answer the question, and they use the afternoon session sometimes for us to answer anonymous questions. They don't put your name on it, they just turn it in. And so I collected all these questions, and I have a file. I saved them, and I have these questions. And I began to categorize them, and you wouldn't believe that the top category, the most important group of questions that young people ask me about, or ask the serving ones, is about boy-girl relationships. And so that's no-brainer. I mean, we all know that that's a big, big topic. But do you know what the second biggest topic was? It was, how do I help my friends to be saved? Because I know this is in the heart of every one of you, especially after you got saved. And so we would like to use this weekend to show you some things. And this might surprise you, but before we go out this afternoon, and we're going to go out and pass out tracts this afternoon, before we do that, we feel that it's really important that we take a little bit of time ourselves to confess, to open up our heart to the Lord, so that we could be right with Him. Because we want our prayers to count. We want our tract passing out to count. We don't want Satan laughing at us. We would rather be laughing at him, right? So this morning, our outline says it's contacting the Lord through confession and prayer. Can you turn me up a little bit? I don't want to lose my voice anymore. Okay, so let's again, like we have been, let's read through these verses. It's very good for us to read the verses and to fellowship a little bit. Let's read Romans 1 all together. Contacting the Lord through amen. 1 John 1:9, brothers. You know, after many of you at the sixth grade conference, you prayed. Maybe some of you before that, you prayed to receive the Lord. And you know, the way it works is like this. Everything you have ever committed, every sin, every offense, before you got saved, let's say you're living along here, and then here is where you get saved. You meet the Lord. But before here, you have a mountain of sins. Okay? All kinds of things. Terrible things. You know, for some people, they get saved older than you. They have a huge mountain of sins. But they come to the Lord. They come to the cross. And you know what the Lord does? He wipes them away. You don't have to confess them. You don't have to itemize them. He wipes them out. It's like nothing ever happened. And you have a new life and a new start. As far as God is concerned, you have never sinned one time. You are righteous. That's why the Bible says you are justified. You know, that's good to know. Isn't that good to know? You can tell your friends everything you've ever done. When you believe in the Lord, it's all wiped away. This is the forgiveness of Christ for us before we were saved. But you know what? After we believe, we go along and we have lots of little failures along the way, right? Could we say that we were perfect, that we never made a mistake since the sixth grade conference? No, we can't say that. In fact, we had a lot of mistakes, a lot of sins. Even maybe we said some things that were not completely true. We took some things that did not belong to us. And maybe we were a little careless in our attitude. You know, after a while, the Lord grows in us and He works in us so that even some of the smallest things begin to bother us. Maybe it's our attitude. Maybe we didn't say anything wrong. But it's just our attitude towards our mom, our teachers, and then we begin to be bothered. Well, when you want to pray, and when it comes time to pray for your friends, and you really want this prayer to matter, and you want the Lord to hear your prayer, all of these things become a little bit of a problem, and they create distance between us and the Lord. You know, if there's somebody that's really a good friend, or if you're married, it's your wife or your husband, and you love them, but you're careless. Maybe you didn't say thank you when you should have said thank you. Maybe you didn't say, you know, and you couldn't say that that's a sin, but it might be a mistake. But you know, sometimes if we're careless in our relationship, then there's a distance, a gap. We're not as close as we used to be. And that's how it is with the Lord. So this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to help you remove all distance between you and the Lord so that when we are praying for our friends or we're going out to pass out tracts, there's nothing between us and the Lord. We're so happy. We're so free. We're so close. So that's why it says if we confess. The confession of this confession is not the confession before salvation. It's the confession after we believed. And you know what confession means? It means you have to say it. Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have lied. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry about my attitude. I'm sorry about my speaking. I'm sorry that I didn't obey my mom. I'm sorry I didn't put my clothes away when she said to put my clothes away. I'm sorry. I repent. Okay, so that's what it means. And then it says the Lord is faithful and righteous. His blood comes in immediately. He cleanses us, wipes away the record, and we have a new start all over again. There's no more distance between us and the Lord. So let's have the sisters read Psalm 32, 5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to Jehovah. Then you forgave the iniquity of my sin. I acknowledge my sin. That's to say, yes, I was wrong. I was wrong. You know how easy it is when someone says, you were wrong. You say, no, I wasn't. I didn't do that. You know, you defend yourself. Or you excuse yourself. You make excuses. Well, the cat made me do it. or they hit me first, or this or that. You know, you always have an excuse. So when the psalm writer, the psalmist says, I acknowledge my sin, that means he admits it. Yes. Sometimes it's really hard for us to admit. But that's what it means. It means I admit I was wrong. And then it says, I did not cover my iniquity. That means I didn't make any excuses. I was wrong. I have no excuse. Did you ever pray like that to the Lord? Lord, it was all me. I was wrong. I have no excuse. Maybe he hit me first, but it's still no excuse. Maybe it wasn't my fault, but I still shouldn't have said that. I still shouldn't have lied. I shouldn't have cheated. That's what that means. It means I admit. Isn't that good? All right, brothers, let's read Proverbs 28:13. If you cover your transgression, that means you deny. It's to make excuses. It's to say, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. You try to cover. But it says here, you will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them, that's wonderful. You know, young people today, when you go to school, you know, we heard stories. We've actually not stories. We've heard reports in the schools today that the number of people that actually cheat on tests is almost 100%, like 90, 95%. That means 95 out of 100 will cheat on a test. How many of those 95 are believers? How many of them know the Lord? You see, part of the problem is this, is that we as believers became very much like the worldly people. We behaved like them. We talked like them. We dressed like them. We even lied like them, cheated like them. And so we have no impact. Our gospel stops because we became the same as the worldly people. The way to not be the same as the worldly people is to admit that we were wrong and to confess it. One time I was being tested. This was when I was working for IBM. I had a job and they were training me. And in the training, you know what I had to do? They made me leave the room. And there was a piece of equipment there, and they would come in and they would break it. They would take a spring off, a screw out. They would do something to mess up the machine. Then they would hide it. Then they would call me to come back in, and my job was to find out what was wrong with that machine and how to fix it. That's how they trained me. So they send me out. I go out. He takes this big spring off. And then he calls me back in. Well, so I'm testing the machine, and all of a sudden there's something that's not working. Something's not working. And so now I've got to find out what's wrong. Well, I couldn't find out. When something's missing, you don't know what's there. You know, you don't know what's supposed to be there. So I was having a hard time. And so I called him over. I called the instructor over, and he's talking to me about it. And what's this? You know, he's trying to talk me through it. And in the process, he opens one of the drawers on the desk where I was, and I'm sitting there, and I didn't know why he was opening the drawer. He opened the drawer. I looked in, and in the drawer was this big spring. So I knew what he did. I saw it. The spring was there. But then I pretended like I didn't see it. You understand? So he saw it. And he closes it real quick, like, oops, you know? And then he says, well, anyway, try and figure it out. So, you know what I did? Now, this is what I did. And you say, is this sinful? Is this a problem? I don't know. But what happened is, I saw the spring. I knew exactly what was wrong. So instead of, and what I was supposed to do is I had a paper, I was supposed to write down what was wrong and what I would do to fix it. Okay, it was like if the spring broke, that's what it was like. So I would say you need to replace the spring, you know, so forth. So I sat there for a long time so that I could give him the impression that I was still struggling over this. You understand what I mean? See, if I walked right up and said spring, he would have known. You saw it, you idiot. Look at you. Of course you know the problem. You saw it when I opened the drawer. So I pretended like I didn't see it and like I'm really scratching my head and trying to figure this out. And then I wrote it down. I went up there and then he goes, yeah, that's right. Correct. And I come back to my desk and I'm sitting there and I realized that that was deceitful. I should have told him I saw it. It was not the truth. And then I pretended like I didn't see it by sitting there for a long time. So I realized, you know, this whole thing is just, it's not fair to be a Christian because you get tormented about things like this. So I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I already got credit for answering the question. So I just had no rest. I had to go back. I didn't even say a word, and I lied. I mean, just by how I acted, I thought, this is not right. This is not. But you know, the Lord living in us is just like that. You have to be a light in a dark place. So I went to my instructor. I said, you know, when you opened the drawer, I saw the spring there. That's why I got this right. And he goes, get out of here. You know, forget it. So he didn't care. So if he didn't care, as long as he knew, my conscience was clear. My fellowship with the Lord was, I was happy again. My spirit is doing backflips. Woo! Like that. You know, when you confess and you forsake, you really enjoy the Lord a lot. Anyway, do not cover, but confess. You obtain mercy. Okay, let's have the sisters read Psalm 66:18. If I regard. Did you see that? Read it again, sister Strong.
If I regard.
Iniquity is sins, mistakes, wrongdoings. And if I have these things in my heart, and then when I come to pray, the Lord did not hear. This is why our confession is so important. We need the Lord to hear. Now, you remember at the sixth grade conference, we went through a whole checklist, and we're not going to do that this morning. But I'd like you to do this right now for about 3 or 4 minutes. We'd like everyone right where you are, sitting right where you are, to close your eyes and to bow your head. And I need you to ask the Lord and pray to the Lord to confess whatever is in your heart. Don't try to think up things, but if there are things in your heart that you need to confess, please do it right now. We'll start and we'll pray for about 3 or 4 minutes, okay? Pray very quietly to yourself. Okay. It's good, huh? How many of you enjoyed going out and calling on the Lord really loud? Did you have a good time? That really sounded cool when we went outside and we could hear everyone calling. We'll have to do that again tomorrow, huh? Okay, let's go on. We still have another portion that we want to cover this morning. These are all very practical matters that we'd like to fellowship with you and lead you into some experiences. Okay, so let's stay on our page 15 and let's go on to Roman numeral number 2. Let's read that together. Contacting
the Lord through our prayers.
Amen. Now, in addition to our confession, we also need to learn how to pray. Because the first thing that gospel seeds do is they pray. They don't speak to people about the Lord before they pray. They pray first. So we'd like to have some practice on prayer. So let's have all the brothers read 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Okay? Again. Unceasingly pray. This tells us that we can pray quietly all the time, in class, while we're taking a test, wherever we are. Let's have the sisters read Luke 18:1.
Is it hot?
Amen. Men ought to always pray and not lose heart. Sometimes we get discouraged and we stop praying. We have to always to pray and not lose heart. Then, brothers, Matthew 6:6.
Wow.
This tells us that our prayer is a very private thing, something that the Father is seeing. He watches, He observes us when we pray for our friends. Sisters, read Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. In nothing. Do junior hires get anxious? Do you get anxious about things? What would cause you to become anxious? Sam, do you get anxious? What would make you to be anxious? About going to a new school. Yeah, what else? Juan, what do you get anxious about? Tests. Did you ever fail a test? Not yet. But you get anxious about that, huh? How about you, Isaac? How many are anxious about going to a new school? You know, you're worried about going into a new school, a new situation. What are some of the other things that cause us to become anxious or to worry? Do you worry? Do you ever worry? How about some of you sisters back here? Do you ever worry about things? Do you have fears? What are you afraid of? Afraid of the dark. Very good. I'm sorry? Say it again. Afraid of bears. How about over here? Homework. You get all tied up inside over things. How about you, Anna? Bears. Yeah, that's something you have to deal with almost every day, isn't it? That announcement last night made everybody a little anxious, huh? What are some of the things? What about our fears? or needs. Do any of you have family members who are sick? Some of you have family members who are sick? How about some that are very sick? You know, sometimes that really causes us to have to pray. If our mom, our dad, or someone is very sick, maybe even has a serious sickness. Do any of you have family members like that, that are very, very sick? And it's serious. And now we're praying. And the Lord has to hear our prayer. We would like to have a little practice with you so that even you, 12 years old, 13 years old, right where you are, you can learn how to pray and open up your heart to the Lord and cast all your anxieties on Him, roll all your burdens onto Him. What that verse means about casting all our anxieties on Him. Anxieties about a new school. Anxieties about a test. Anxieties about our fears. About sickness. About health. Maybe our parents lost their job. And we could tell that they're anxious about that. And so we can pray. Even we can pray. Don't think that praying is something only the older people can do. You have to realize that once you believe in the Lord, once you come to the cross, you become one of those members of the body of Christ who also can pray. How good it would be if so many of us all began to pray. I think one of the reasons why there's so much corruption in the schools today is because the Christian kids don't pray. And the Christian young people, the believers, they didn't pray. And so this morning, we'd like to impress you. Whatever is on our heart, whatever bothers us, whatever causes us to be afraid, whatever causes us to be a little anxious, all of these things, we need to learn how to tell the Lord. Amen. By prayer, by praying. And you know what? The best prayer is, let me tell you what the best prayer is. You can memorize it. Would you like to memorize the best prayer? Okay, it's like it goes like this. Oh, Lord Jesus. That's it. You know what oh means? Oh. Oh. It means I open. Open my heart. Open my fears. I open my situation. I open my anxieties. It just means, oh. Sometimes maybe that's all we can pray. We can't pray the whole prayer. Maybe all we could pray is, oh. But the Lord knows. The Lord hears. And the Father sees. Oh. Oh, oh. And then you come to the next word. It's Lord. Do you know what Lord means? That means, Lord, you're the Lord. You're the boss. You're the king. You're God. I come to you, the one on the throne, the one who knows everything, the one who sees everything, the one who understands everything. Everything. Don't need the explanation. I don't need to say all the words. I don't need to say, oh, I'm so anxious. I'm so worried. I'm so concerned. I don't need to say all that. You're the Lord. You know. He's the Lord. Oh, Lord. Isn't that precious? How sweet is that? That's why we told you to go around and call on the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Because when we say, oh, it's, oh, oh. And when you say Lord, it's Lord. You're the Lord. You know. You understand. You're concerned. It matters to you. Then you say, Jesus. Jesus. When you say Jesus, you're saying, He's the one who was a man just like you, tempted in every respect like you. He's the one that died on the cross. He healed every sickness. He forgave every sin. He solved every problem. He's the one. So our prayer is so simple. It's, oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. This is why we say it 1,000 times a day. Because this moment, it means this. It's a test. Now I'm done with the test. Now I'm going to the next class. I don't understand history. I don't understand English. So I call on the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. And it means that. Then. And then later. Oh, Lord Jesus. It means that. Are any of you boys afraid of getting beat up? Don't laugh. You know, we heard some of these stories in Europe. Some of the young brothers in London, they told us, we have to run home from school every day so that we don't get stabbed. These are our brothers in the Lord. And they live in a very, very difficult situation. Some of us, this is real. This is real. So what do? You have to run and call at the same time. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. You ever get afraid? Oh, Lord Jesus. Sometimes we think that when we pray, we have to explain everything to the Lord. We don't. If it helps, go ahead. But He doesn't need all your words to understand what's going on in your heart. He just needs you to come to Him. Amen. Then He understands everything. Okay, so let's read through these points. Well, let's keep reading the verses. Ephesians 6:18. Brothers, sisters, brothers, sisters, brothers. Praying
at every time in spirit.
At every time in spirit. Don't pray in your mind. Don't pray in your emotions. You have to pray in your spirit. What's the easiest, fastest, best way to get into your spirit? Oh, Lord Jesus. Let's all do that.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh,
Lord Jesus.
How about we have this section stand up and pray like I did, like, oh, Lord Jesus. Two times.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
How about we have this section over here, give us a word of prayer.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Sisters here.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus.
How about this section? Just, oh, three times. Okay, now, Lord, three times.
Lord, Lord, Lord.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Amen. Good. Okay, this front row missed out. We need to hear them. How about, oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Go.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Oh,
Lord Jesus.
Very good. Okay. Every time in spirit. So sisters, read Colossians 4:2.
Person.
Persevere means don't stop. Keep. You have to persevere. Keep praying. And watching means... it's kind of hard to explain. Actually, it means watch out, because Satan wants to stop you from praying. That's what it means. It means watch your prayer. Keep an eye on it so that it never stops. Watching unto it. With thanksgiving means thank you, Lord. That's also a really good prayer. Thank you, Lord. Okay? Let's have all the brothers read point A. The kingdom
people must have some experience
of praying in their private room, through
which they contact their heavenly Father and secret, experience some secret answer from Him.
Sisters, point B.
Prayer in general, having worship and fellowship as its essence. Petition is special, being for particular needs.
There's two kinds of prayer. One kind of prayer is to just pray to love the Lord, pray to touch Him. Prayer to be with Him. Lord, I love you. Lord, you're so good. Thank you for being here. Maybe to pray read. And then when we have some specific needs, Lord Jesus, this test. Lord Jesus, my mom. Oh, Lord, my new school. You just mention these things. It becomes a petition. Okay, now turn in your book to the practice session. Page 17. We already did the first practice, but let's read through it, okay? Let's read Romans 1, practicing to have a time. Brothers, A, right? Okay, we did that for about 5 minutes. Okay, sisters, point B.
Pray to apply the Lord's precious blood to cover and cleanse you of all your sins.
Altogether, C.
Do not confess things that you have already confessed in the past, and remember that your confession is to bring you back to love the Lord in a fresh and living way.
Okay, so now we come to Romans 2. Practicing to have a time of prayer. Look at A. Let's read point A. Brothers.
Go to a quiet place all alone and kneel down to pray for 10 minutes and call on the name of the Lord. Speak to Him whatever comes up in your heart, your fears, your anxieties, your needs, your family, or your friends. Pray quietly but loud enough so that you can hear it.
We're going to do this. We're going to, like we did when we went out to call on the Lord, we're going to send you out to have a time to pray. Just you and the Lord. We'd like you to go somewhere nearby or in here where you're all alone and you can kneel down. It was really the best if you could kneel down at the benches here or at the chairs in here. Close your eyes. You can block out everybody else. If you don't have anything to pray, then I would encourage you to call in the name of the Lord. We'll do this for about 5 minutes, okay? And the brothers will blow the horn. Then point B, sisters.
Remember that this is a practice, and the goal is not to learn a religious practice of prayer, but to contact our Lord Jesus.
Do you have something to pray about? Do you have some names of friends that you would like to see get saved? Neighbors, relatives? Now would be the time to bring this out and to open this up, to pray. If you have sick family, sick relatives, or needs, fears, anxieties. So what we're going to do is we're going to dismiss you. It's all alone, okay? Do not stay together. I noticed some of the sisters stay together. Do not stay together. You have to do this alone. You know, this is part of this perfecting. It's part of the training that we'd like to give you, is to learn how to do this yourself alone. You have to start. It doesn't come easy. It takes practice. So let's begin our journey. Okay? So the brothers again will go out this door. Wait a minute. Before you leave, let me finish all the instructions.